is how I conclude most of our benedictions, the closing statements for our gatherings. I pray for peace for you as you leave this place, that until we meet again, the peace of Christ would infuse who you are and how you trust. I pray for purpose for you too, that you would know that your life, your vocation, and your calling are integral in the kingdom of God. Go forth in peace and purpose. We begin that way this morning because today is Pentecost Sunday, the day in the church calendar when things are a bit disruptive, shall we say, the Holy Spirit shaking things up. You walk into a room expecting one thing and behold, something else. Since I know all of you love surprises, that they just make you all warm and cozy and relaxed, I thought we would shake our services up and flip everything upside down. Several of you have already shared your anxiety with me about that. That seems to be what the Spirit does on Pentecost, following the trend that Jesus himself used to do, inverting tables, inclusions, feet washings, life from death, and we could come up with a lot more. You can try to follow along in your bulletin if you would like, but even that has been overturned, as you have seen. Best to just receive it as it comes and pay attention. So our benediction, our blessing, comes at the start, which is another Jesus move. Before you go any further, know this: you are blessed by God. Our family matters today. Dan, you can click through these in just a bit. Twice a year, we have a missions love offering where everything that we give on a specific day goes 50-50 between our two missions partners, Glenn Langston, who works with folks who are blind throughout the world, and Reggie Hiller, who ministers to and supports refugees in Austria. We'll have this missions love offering on June 11th. You, of course, can give any time between now and then, but we'll take care of that specifically two Sundays from today. We'll go next one. All right, there's Grogu up there to let us know that there's going to be an adoption celebration for baby Lizzie, whose adoption is complete or nearly complete. When it's complete. It is what? Nearly complete. By then, it should be fully complete. We're crossing fingers about that. It's going to be at the Vaughn's house, of course, Saturday, June 3rd. I think that's a 3rd. Yep, 3rd, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's just a come and go. Any of that time, you can RSVP to Alex or Jessica. Wednesday night prayer meeting does continue this week, this upcoming Wednesday, 7 p.m. here in the lobby. And Larry, Ruth, or Mercy, or Jesse can answer any questions you might have about that. The office will be closed tomorrow for Memorial Day, so heads up. And of course, we have Bible classes immediately after our gathering today all over this building. Stick around and be a part of one of these. We have some great teachers, great conversations, ways that we can converse with one another in ways we're just not fully able to as we gather like this. All right, I want to invite Dee Pipes up for Shepherd's Moment.
Always think of Michael Bell when I adjust the microphone. Well, it turns out it's not just the microphone I need to adjust. We're three-fourths the way through our budget year for 2022-23. The new budget will start September 1, 2023, and go through 2024. I make an announcement about what the shepherds have been doing, what our congregation's been doing, and how we're doing on the budget around this time every year. Last year, I talked about what all an insurance company wanted us to do. And last year, you'll remember we said our aging buildings are our expensive aging buildings. Last year, we got, in 2020, we shopped around and got new, cheaper insurance. And then last year it came back to bite us when an inspector came and said we had to do several repairs to the building. We had to take out some upstairs AC units. We had to, Antonio did a bunch of repair on rotting fascia boards. We replaced the sidewalk in front of the fellowship hall, quite a bit of that, and took out the one down the east side of the fellowship hall. But y'all didn't even know there was a sidewalk down the east side of the fellowship hall. Well, but we took it out. We replaced the backing on the, and the sidewalk was about $12,000. The concrete work, $5,500, and we spent $8,000 getting a new heater in the fellowship hall. Okay, so that introduces you to the things that we have, the type of things we have been doing. This year, this calendar year, we intentionally set out to pray for a specific group in the congregation. We have been praying for the under 21, the children, the youth, the young people of our congregation, and we pray at every meeting specifically for a set of those, typically five or six at a time, depending on how the families break up. We go through the alphabet, you know, time and time again. We let the parents know that we were praying for their physical, spiritual, mental well-being, any specifics that we know that they have. And this has just been, I don't know how it's going for the under 21s, but it's been wonderful for me because this is the area that you can see a lot of growth really quickly. This is in addition to, we of course, every time lift up the prayer needs that you tell us about, any illnesses or crises or travel that you have, but this is something special in addition to that. We are also working to declutter our buildings. We have unused offices and classrooms that seem to fill up just like all the closets in my house do. We've done extensive cleaning on the metal building so that it's almost empty. I'll tell you what we're going to use it for in a little while. And we've taken much of the stuff can be repurposed someplace else. Some things are going to BIM. We've done some metal recycling. The building formerly known as the Teen Room, the metal building we call it now, the YMCA wants to make an storage for clothing for these children age, these under 21s that we've been praying for throughout our neighborhood. Bethesda had a desire to have a similar program. They are going to work together, and that will be where it's stored. This is probably school clothes. This does not replace what BIM's doing. This is not a voucher. I'm seeing this almost as a emergency, urgent use or special use. We continue to strive to use our aging, expensive buildings very effectively. Reach to Teach still meets here every Wednesday night. Cora and Steve Sargent serve in that, as does Bonnie Darrow, and Joe Sandifer maybe does the most important thing with snacks. That's a year-around project on Wednesday nights. They finish up well before the prayer meeting that was just in Family Matters in our upside-down order of worship. We are close to finalizing a YMCA after school program. It would be 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, during the school year. They will lease some space in our building, and we're working to decide, and they're working to decide where the final place will be. This will be a lease, just as the five-day training was and will be that they had, but they use the auditorium in the foyer. And we've talked and talked and shared about Bethesda House of Grace, the Spanish language congregation, Antonio's church. and I had confused some people by saying Spanish language congregation. Everyone I've met from there speaks English as well as I do and Spanish fabulously better than I do. Sometimes we refer to it as Antonio's church. Sometimes we refer to it as Pastor Salvador's church, but he is quick to correct us that it is, of course, the Lord's church. They begin leasing and occupying our building September 1. Wow, at the beginning of the new budget year. But they're here now working on preparing the fellowship hall for their use. We will have a joint event that Steve Sargent will tell us about. We've been working on that quite a bit, and I'm incredibly excited about that as well. Okay, you know I come up, I talk about the budget, and it's when it's unmitigated good news, Chuck makes the announcement. We've had a couple of challenges this year. Last year we had the insurance inspector. This year we had a building inspector, and evidently lots of public and commercial places up and down West Belfort met this same building inspector, city inspector. I'm going to tell you moderately technically what they wanted. If you want greater technical descriptions, I can explain that. And if you didn't want this much, I'm so sorry. They found three places where we could have water back up, not in a flooding situation, but just in a use situation. The ice maker, the baptistry, and in the oddest way, a janitorial closet over here. And we have put backflow preventers of some kind on those. Well, didn't I make them sound light and easy and easy? And nothing. Also, we had to do something to all the outside faucets. Antonio, our solution to many things, took care of that. We had a plumber install the backflow preventers at a cost of almost everyone seated, $5,000. Yes, thank you, city building inspector. We've cleaned the parking lot drains, and with the exceptions of the ones on the far west end of the parking lot, they all work significantly better. After we cleaned the drains, and particularly between the buildings, we repaved that. Some of you who are rolling your eyes at me now and are eager to let Andrea start singing some of the songs will notice that the stripes in the ceiling here and above the baptistry are peeling. We're working on getting those painted, and there are some in the foyer. Yes, we've noticed that. And the budget is driven by a really large item that is not intuitive is the insurance. So in 2020, we found a new, cheaper insurance. And then insurance has worked its way up. And this year, we get to pay 10% more for insurance, about $42,000 a year. A couple of things are happening. Larry had noticed 10 years ago that companies aren't writing commercial. That's what we have, insurance in Texas or in our area, maybe coastal Texas. Our insurance agent had to shop with a lot of places to get it. I thought, well, there's a bunch of churches around here. They all have insurance. Let's see if somebody else has a new solution. One of the churches that Steve contacted for us has a denominational insurance pool. Another one said, no, but if you find someone cheap, please, please share. So we're three-fourths of the way through the year. For our budgeted giving, we are $31,876 behind our budgeted giving. We aren't spending everything that we budgeted for. It's, we aren't meeting what we projected for the budget. We have some legacy funds. We have some funds in the bank. We are not about to not be able to write checks, but I have something easy to say. If you are giving regularly, great. Keep up the good work. If you aren't, please give. That wasn't what you expected me to say, was it? Let me repeat it, please. If you're giving regularly, that's great. If you aren't, think about it, pray about it, and please give. Next month, you're going to see several people grimace about this. We're going to start working with the budget and finance teams on the 2024 budget. We won't do ones that will decrease employees, but we've got to do something so that we're not projecting more than we're getting in. It just doesn't make sense. It's not truthful to do that. I have the actuals for the budget, meaning what we budgeted and what we've spent through April. That's the last complete month that our accountant can give us. I will talk with you individually. You can meet all the shepherds and we'll talk to you about it, or I'll answer specific questions. Now, Steve's already turned us upside down. You can call and talk to me. You can run up and ask me a question, and if I can get to class in time, I will tell you. We are working and have worked to fulfill our mission statement. You knew I'd say it, didn't you? As God has loved us, we will continue to meet people on common ground and journey together to the higher ground of life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Dee. In this news, let us remember that God has always been faithful and that God will continue to be faithful. So let us now give with open and generous hearts. We have Glenn and Larry, who now will come forward, and we have a couple offering trays here. You can put any contribution, offering, tithe that you brought with you today. You can also give online. You can bring it to the office, and thank you, as always, friends, for doing that. Let's pray together, and these guys will walk around. We give you thanks, O God, for your faithfulness, not only in taking care of us in all the ways, but taking care of your world, your creation, throughout all time. We continue to entrust all these things and ourselves to you. So would you bless what is given today? For it's through Christ that we pray and do all things. Amen. We have given, so let us also now receive. We gather around this table, the Lord's table, each and every Sunday to break bread and to drink from the cup. Jesus himself taught us these things, to remember him whenever we dine. We remind each other too, for the bread which we share tells us that our neighbors are in Christ too, and the cup which is poured brings life to our sisters and brothers as well. So we can eat and drink with great joy and with gratitude. Christ is indeed among us. If you'd like to help share the bread and the cup with the congregation at large, you can join me up front after I pray, and we'll do that. Let's pray together, please. For all that you've done, we thank you. For all that you're going to do, we thank you as well. For this time that we have together to share this bread and this cup, may it be bigger than it actually is. Increase our hearts and our minds to receive you as you are and as we are. For it's through Christ we pray and do all things.
Good morning. Let's sing together in worship. This is really high.
Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. To be like thee, oh, to be like thee, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, Lord, I am coming now to receive the anointing divine. All that I am and of I am bringing, Lord, from this moment all shall be thine. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart.
One thing that has not changed is the placement of our roots, friends. So you can head to the back at the roots table if you'd like to be a part of that. Miss Chelsea is helping to lead that today, and so glad that you are here. Like benedictions, I conclude most of my sermons the same way, perhaps you remember. And together we say or we type, Amen. It began during COVID time when sermon writing became a full-time gig for me. Unless you have blocked it out of your memory like sometimes I try to do, I for 1 year preached directly to my cell phone on Facebook Live, hoping that some of you were watching on the other end. Since passively watching a sermon, whether in person or on a computer, is not preferable to actively encountering it and engaging with it in your heart, mind, and soul, I had to think critically and creatively each Sunday about how to help facilitate that. Perhaps I didn't need to worry about that so much because right there in the comment sections, you would say hello to each other. You would emoji with abandon, red hearts and thumbs up and tears, whatever the situation called for. You would greet each other with a holy digital kiss. You missed one another. You loved. Perhaps I should be upset that a lot of that went on during my sermons, but I've decided to let that go. That's how the "and together we say or type amen" phrase came into being for us. The amen, of course, means let it be so, or yes, with the operative word being together, not as a single person, but as a whole, separate, but not apart, one body. The amen we collectively say is an agreement that we share, if not fully in the content of my sermons, because sometimes I say things you don't agree with, but together in full spirit and in full love, nevertheless. And together we say or we type amen is not how Peter's audience on the first Pentecost Sunday responded. Instead, they cried out in one voice, "Tell us what we have to do." So pierced in their hearts were they by Peter's sermon. The piercing was painful, I think, because it was convicting. No one likes to be told they are wrong, especially when it comes to beliefs and actions. Similarly, I doubt that you who are parents ever relished getting on to your children, disciplining them when they should have done something, when they did something they should not have done. When Peter, in his sermon, said, "Know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you killed on the cross, that one had to sting. Likely, no one in the crowd was the one who had held the nails into place while one of their friends swung the hammer. Maybe a couple of curious onlookers from the order of the religious leaders were there, but for the most part, you can imagine that most of these folks were simple bystanders who had watched the events play out before them when the Christ was crucified. Crucifixions were not new to these Jews. They had witnessed Romans kill their family members for years by that point. But this one was new. This Jesus whom y'all killed on the cross. It was responsibility by association, more than a deed done on an individual level. They, as a people chosen and beloved by God, had failed to take heed of what the lowly Jesus was up to all along, set them free. It's hard to blame them for that, since the most part, Jesus and his ministry was too radical to comfortably follow, too threatening to their imagined power, too inclusive for their small tables, too liberal for their liking, too mysterious for their comprehension, too meek to take seriously. And yet, God and Jesus had shown them the path of life, the way to streams of living water, an upside-down itinerary into the kingdom of God. Though many individuals were likely conflicted and afraid, as a whole people, the answer was a hard pass and bent their knees to the powers that were. What shall we do? The people said in response, and Peter said, change your thinking. Turn to God and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus the Christ, so that you will be healed and forgiven, released of your broken ways. Moreover, you will be gifted with the Holy Spirit. And the people did just that. The external spirit they received immediately led them to do all sorts of external things, like devoting themselves to Jesus' teaching and breaking bread and selling their stuff and giving away the proceeds and opening their homes and praising God in a voice said as one. The Holy Spirit, that animating, wind-walking, meandering, determined, inexplicable, uncontrollable nature of God, who keeps showing up in the world despite the world's predominant inhabitants, also kept showing up throughout this particular part in Acts. Peter, in the middle of this chapter 2 story, had pressed a highly charged text from the prophet Joel into active duty. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, your daughters, they will too. Your young men will see visions, your old men dream dreams. When the time comes, I will pour out my spirit. On those who serve me, men and women both, they will prophesy. This would happen, Peter went on to say, when Jesus, the seed of God, was murdered by angry men with an agenda. Jesus's end, however, did not result in destruction, but in resurrection, which was the impetus to release a million seeds of God that would grow in a million ways and a million places. The Spirit of the living God being poured out on every kind of people, doves from heaven with the word of, this is my child. The last days are right now, says Peter. What gave him the confidence and the ability to preach like that was the fact that he did not start out alone. His fellow disciples, 120 of them, according to Acts, men and women, had stepped onto balconies and stood at street corners, but not with bullhorns or shame-riddled signs, with something else, the wonders of God, the kind that young children experience every day, but very few adults do, where everything is new to them. The wonders of God, that God had the last word and the word after that, that God was still creating and recreating. To their delight, these Aramaic speakers began speaking in foreign languages they had neither absorbed as a kid or learned as a teen, exotic syllables laced with an ageless familiarity. Words began rolling off their multilingual lips like they had been speaking Farsi or Latin or Coptic their entire lives, and so amazed were they that they could do this. But it paled in comparison to the amazement of the hearers listening to these Jews orating in the vernaculars of the world. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judah and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and Libya, Jews and non-Jews, visitors from Jews, Cretans and Arabs. They all heard the resounding wonders of God described in their native tongues. The hearing bared them to the bone and bewildered their understanding. Something was stirring within them. Though my question might be, are you sure the disciples weren't a little tipsy? Most of the very diverse audience, perplexed as they were, asked, what does this mean? That answer, as I have already described, would come later, but the energy behind it all came before. Jesus had already left the building, in person at least, and there Peter was with the leftover apostles and a few dozen others in a small room, unsure of what to do next, and who can fault them for that? The day happened to be on Shavuot or Pentecost, a Jewish festival of the harvest when first fruits were given to God in an act of trust and thanksgiving. Hiding in that little room, however, not much would grow, neither trust nor fruit. But bursting forth on glorious day, a shocking scene of almost unimaginable chaos, which was a tiny bit different than here, when I often plan and plot our services with a proficiency and perfection aimed toward properness and precision. But there was no controlling much of anything that Pentecost, for the Spirit of the living God unexpectedly blew through the house in which they were sitting and messed everything up, flipping people upside down, changing order and plans, and transforming hesitancy into action. The Spirit was on the move. One of the many gifts this church has to offer one another is the gift of language. While English is the first language for many of us, it's the second or even third for others. We also have several folks who are fluent in or apprentices of other languages. And this morning, we get to share the wonders of God with one another in an array of dialects. I want to invite our set of readers up this morning. If you are one of these who are reading one of these languages, you can join me and just come stand behind here, no particular order. And one after another, they will declare the wonders of God from Acts chapter 2 so that we all can hear. If you speak another language than what's listed on this screen, you are welcome to find Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 on your phone or perhaps your Bible, and come share that as well. You can do that. So I want to invite up, y'all come a little bit closer. Whoever wants to go first is just fine, and we'll go all the way down the line. Jessica, how about you finish? Then, okay.
Good morning, church. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4 in English. When the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them.
Cuando llegó el día de Pentecostés, estaban todos juntos en el mismo lugar. De repente vino del cielo un ruido como el de una violenta ráfaga de viento y llenó toda la casa donde estaban reunidos. Se les aparecieron entonces unas lenguas como de fuego que se repartieron y se posaron sobre cada uno de ellos. Todos fueron llenos del Espíritu Santo y comenzaron a hablar en diferentes lenguas, según el Espíritu les concedía expresarse.
五旬節到了，門徒都聚集在一處，忽然從天上有響聲下來，好像一陣大風吹過。 充满了他们所坐的屋子，又有舌头如火焰显现出来，分开落在他们各人的头上，他们就被圣灵充满，按着圣灵所赐的口才，说起别国的话来。
Bo apostle by bono meneketon. Baki tangarobari. Se baki tangarobari ya. Bako dangbere no abere foro akuba. Baki pina ene ko foro ene aki ko bananye. Nako bananye ma. Foro aki ura, akara aki ju. A ura bregbere ilisen. Aki ura bregbere ilisen. Dene ababe didene keton. Kien bade nye ten akba dato rozuga. Foro ak ura bere dem ya aganen. Aki ura, aki ura. Boa. Foro ak bo aki bambo bubu aba. Bambo bubu aba. Dene abakbo lobe mbo bere etone na dan. Dene kwebe adikede akbo ko a a. Ba wadra lobe mgan banan dan. Banan nima. Konye abe baribe konaye. This is the word of God.
ولما حضر يوم الخمسين كان الجميع معا بنفس واحد وصار بفتحة من السماء صوت كما من هبوب ريح عاصفة وملأ كل بيتي حيث كانوا جلسين وطهرت لهم السنات منقسمات كأن من نار واستقرت على كل واحد منهم وامتلأ الجميع من الروح القدس دوسي وابتدأوا يتكلمون بسنات الخرى كما أعطاهم الروح أن ينطقوا.
Le jour de la Pentecôte, ils étaient tous ensemble dans le même lieu. Tout à coup, il vint du ciel un bruit comme celui d'un vent impétueux et il remplit toute la maison où ils étaient assis. Des langues semblables à des langues de feu leur apparurent séparées les unes des autres et se posèrent sur chacun d'eux. Et ils furent tous remplis du Saint-Esprit et se mirent à parler en d'autres langues, selon que l'Esprit leur donnait de s'exprimer. See you next year. I hope so.
Amen.
Thank you, everybody. Friends, this morning we have backed into the Pentecost story, and what we can now hear from this angle is this. The fire of God's Spirit has not died out. The flames that danced on shoulders way back when have not been extinguished. The flare-up of holiness was not a short-term spectacle. While the shape of God's Spirit may look different today than it did then, the heated presence of its afterglow remains. The glowing embers of that first Pentecost still burn deep within you, crossing millennia and seas and religions even to get to you, to alight on your heart and your mind. The prophet Joel was right. God pours out the blazing Spirit on every kind of people. Your daughters and your sons who will prophesy. Your young men who will see visions before them. Your old men who will dream of what could be. Your women and your dismissed and your bereaved. Those will witness to the risenness of the Christ. Set loose upon the world. Do not believe for a second that you are the only one or the only way. The Spirit will blow where the Spirit will blow, to the north and to the south, to the east and to the west. This is freedom in motion. This is celebration of diversity. This is birth. This is broadening. Here at the close of the sermon, we get to begin again. Lean in, church. For God is at work in this world. And repent. Every single day, repent, which is that dazzling turning around, the Spirit of God twirling you as if in a slow dance. And be baptized, that full and joyous declarative participation in the life of the Spirit. These are the promises handed down to us that by grace we get to pass on to our children and to our children's children. And who knows if your children or their children will receive the gift of the Spirit of God like you did or do, or when they will. That's not up to you. The Holy Spirit is at work in their life. just like the Spirit is at work in yours, just like the Spirit of God is at work in this church. I do not know where the Spirit may lead us as a congregation in this place that we have gathered. There are lots of things I want for her. I want for her to survive and thrive and carry on for a long time what's been passed down. But what I want most of all, what is deepest in my soul, is the kingdom of God, full of peace and purpose, brought on by Jesus the Christ, and a together amen that burns deep and burns bright beyond our imagination, beyond our understanding, yet we stay attuned and opened. As an Eastern people, we affirm with our lives Peter's words in Acts chapter 2, this Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. We are witnesses. May it be so by the Spirit of God for you and for me and for this church. Let's pray together. Oh God, you are our God. Earnestly this day we seek you and we have sought you. You have poured through me and through us the gift of preaching. Now continue to open our eyes and open our ears. For it's through Christ we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing together.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound. Season for a new anointing. This is the season for a fresh outpouring, that the sons and daughters of the King of Glory may arise and shine. That the sons and daughters of the King of Glory may arise and shine as we declare, this is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. shine. Every son and daughter of the King of Glory, now arise and shine as we declare. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let your glory fill the earth. Let your glory fill the earth. King of glory, fill the earth. King of glory, fill the earth. As we declare, this is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that has made.
Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the gift of language. For language brings community. The community we have here is diverse and sacred. The gift of the Pentecost brought us the ability to be able to come to the safe table. And we are so grateful for that. Thank you, Lord. For those who do not have community, Lord, we ask that you bring them to our table, specifically on our hearts, God. This is the month to remember foster care. And I ask that you keep our eyes on the children who have been removed from their communities, whether it wasn't safe or something was going on. I ask that you bring them a permanent community, one that is filled with love and safety and hope. Help us to be your hands and feet, Lord, as we look upon these children this month, throughout the year. Help us to continue to serve them. Thank you for your community. Thank you for this one. And thank you for your love. In your name we pray. Amen.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to in the midst of the darkness shining, Jesus. says, shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory, blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire, flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy, send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory, blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire, flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy, send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
Would you stand, please, for our call to worship always? The last slide you'll see in yellow, would you join in? Let's remain standing for the rest of our service, please. Join in on the yellow part, slide 4. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirits, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke, join me. We will sing to the Lord all our life. We will sing praise to our God as long as we live. May our meditation be pleasing to God as we rejoice in the Lord. May the Holy Spirit, who lit the church on fire on the day of Pentecost, bring the world alive with the love of the risen Christ. So, welcome, you beloved community of God. We are so glad that you are here today. Whether you've been a part of this congregation for a really long time, or just a few months, or anywhere in between, you put flesh and bone to this body of Christ we find ourselves in. You who are visiting with us, welcome. I hope that you have been encouraged in your faith today. As our guests, we honor you. You folks who have joined us online, what a gift you continue to be. Though we cannot see you, we can, by the Holy Spirit, sense your presence, and we thank you for that. I pray that all that we have done today, our prayers, our singing, our sermon, our readings, our eating and drinking, our giving, I pray that all of this will remind you of your belovedness and fill you with great hope. Today is a new day, alive with opportunity and blessing. Let's press in and pay attention wherever the wind may blow.
Her squeal was almost on pitch.
Spirit of the living.